Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the CollegeToPro.com NFL Draft Blast.
Welcome back to another edition of the C2P. We are down here at the 2018 NFL Scouting Combine, and I'm with the NFL Draft Guru, Justin Van Vulpen. Justin, we're down here in Indy for another year. It's a nice time as always, and we're going to do our annual mock draft. We did one a couple weeks ago, but we thought it'd be a good idea to come down here, combine time,
and
get the full address. We got players walking around the Adidas thing, the Nike suite's open, so it's a good time for these guys to do a lot of things. But how's Indy treating you?
Great. You know, down here, it's actually sunshine here in Indianapolis, so it's good weather. You know, better than the last couple of years, so you can't complain, but we're football season's rolling. Guys are running 40s, and we're here. We're doing our thing.
Yeah, it is a good time, a good draft class. And if you folks know, Justin won the coin flip, so he gets the first pick of the 2018 draft. It'll be the first pick of two in the first round for the Cleveland Browns, who were winless in 2017 after winning one game in 16. So I think things for Cleveland have to turn around eventually.
Yeah, they got to win a game, right?
All right. I mean, two wins is productive, I guess, in their part. So set the bar low, and you can only go a little bit higher. But with that said, Justin, go ahead and get us started.
I think as far as the last mock draft, I think Saquon Barkley just makes too much sense. If you're not in love with one of these quarterbacks, whether it's Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, really Saquon Barkley, the best back here, he's going to run today. You know, there's really, you know, high expectations of what type of speed he's going to have. You see him on the field, he's definitely a, you know, high 4.3 guy, low 4.4 guy, you know, explosive athlete, playmaker, you know, there. You know, so I would take Saquon Barkley there with the first pick with the Cleveland Browns. But don't be surprised if somebody tries to trade up to get Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley goes number one in this year's draft.
I think that's a great point of view. I mean, he's a dominant running back, and we've seen the transition from, you know, they're in vogue again, which I love the running back position. So I love, you know, Ezekiel Elliott goes high, and then we have, you know, Leonard Fournette, and these guys capitalize on it with big years and good career so far. So I think it's just kind of the momentum just builds for the running back kind of coming back into the fold of the NFL draft, because we know there was a few years. And again, I think down, and even that point, Justin, when these guys wouldn't go, I would always tell people, if there's no good running backs in the first round, you're not going to have any. You know, I think 2009 there wasn't a receiver taken in the first round, and that was a pass happy league. So if the talent's not there, you know,
that's right.
You know, like this particular year, I mean, we could have five quarterbacks go in the first round. Why? Because there's needy teams. Quarterbacks are in that grade.
Yeah, we don't have a real separation. There's not an Andrew Luck in this.
Exactly.
Surefire number one.
Not
pick.
Joe Thomas. And so that's why, you know, but Barkley's a great prospect, and that's going to be a great selection. And I can see that point is there could be plenty of teams jockeying to kind of get this ball carrier for their future. I inherit the Giants' second pick, and, I'm thinking about Eli, and, I did a piece the other day on the Steelers. You know, they have Ben, and then, the Saints with Breeze, you got Phillip Rivers. You got all these guys, Brady, and I think I added them up. They're 37 years old on average, but these guys seem like they can play towards their 40s. Eli's 37. You figure if they feel comfortable with him, you at least have two or three good years left. So with that said, I'd like to say Sam Darnold would be the selection they would make, and I'm going to stick with that, even though I think Eli still has some life in him, and I just think at this point, picking second, and it goes again back, when you look up and down this board, I don't think there's a guy equivalent enough for a franchise quarterback, especially in, the big city in New York. So I'm going to put Darnold at number two. And, the eventual Eli Manning replacement.
Makes sense. I mean, you got, as far as Aaron Rodgers, sat behind Brett Favre.
Right.
There. Phillip Rivers actually sat behind Drew Brees. If we remember correctly, San Diego had Drew Brees, and they drafted Phillip Rivers with the number, one overall pick with the trade, there. I mean, they traded with the Giants, and et cetera, there.
Let me ask you this question, Jeff, because this always makes me wonder. How did they not know? How did they take Phillip Rivers when they had? Because they used the first pick of the second round. They took LaDainian in the first, and then they took Drew Brees in the second. At what point did Schottenheimer not and that staff not know that Drew Brees was in the house? Why? What it is you don't even need to make the pick for Phillip Rivers.
No, that's right.
You could have went in 1,000. I think that's one of the biggest farces that gets left alone, where you had Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Like more than Tom Brady, and Drew, Bledsoe getting hit and him going and leaving the game, and Brady comes in. You had Drew Brees, second round pick,
and LaDainian Tomlinson, both Hall of Famers.
And you're like, you know what? We're going to draft Phillip Rivers. That's a great point. I'm glad you brought it up. That's what we should just do with the rest of the mock draft and talk about how San Diego kind of failed to live up to expectations. But you have the Colts with the third pick. I think a big rebuilding process for Chris Ballard. I think the previous administration kind of really buried this team in terms of draft-wise. I mean, it became – and that's why they're picking third overall. But you get to pick my –
Well, again, I think the standpoint is they're hoping Saquon Barkley would be here. You know, he's not here. They said they're moving on from Frank Gore. You know, Chris Ballard obviously likes to run the football in the days there in Kansas City. But I think they got to go ahead and get a pass rusher. They had Dwight Freeney in the past. I think Bradley Chubb, the defensive end from NC State, can kind of help be that kind of Dwight Freeney, their pass rusher here in Indianapolis, there on the turf of Lucas Oil Stadium. So Chubb's the pick at number three.
Nice. So we got Barkley 1, Darnold 2, Bradley Chubb, the NC standout, going 3. I get the Browns 4th pick. Good thing about being the Cleveland Browns is you're bad in so many spots. It kind of helps you kind of, you know, your board can be pretty wide open. You can take the best guy available, or you can take the best guy almost available at any position. Mm-hmm. I think of this team offensively. You know, Joe Thomas isn't getting any younger. You know, and you have him taking Barkley. Yeah, I still think at least the dynamic of quarterback open. And I look at Rosen, I look at Josh Allen. So I'm going to put this pick with Josh Allen. I do believe they're going to get A.J. McCarron, with that said. But until free agency happens, I can't be prejudiced.
And again, I think they like Josh Allen better because he's a bigger, big hands, came from Wyoming, you know, could get the weather. I know you live in that state of Ohio and know that it gets a little chilly there in the months of January and February. So I think Josh Allen's a perfect pick. Then you go right to the Denver Broncos. And again, do they get Kirk Cousins? Oh. You know, basically that's the big thing in regards to Cousins. But again, we're saying that they don't have Kirk Cousins. So Darnold has gone off the board. Josh Allen's gone off the board. So I think you got to go Josh Rosen, the quarterback out of UCLA, unless they get Kirk Cousins. But we don't have that information right now. So right now we're picking Josh.
On what we need.
Josh Rosen's the pick there because the Paxton Lynch experience, it's done and over with. You know, I mean, I think they're moving on. They spent a first round pick on Paxton Lynch. Yep. They had a quarterback in Trevor Siemian who was a 7th round pick who, you know, played decently, but he's more of a backup in the league than a starter.
Right.
So I think they go ahead and go out there in the West Coast. John Elway's from Stanford. They go ahead and get another Pac-12 a quarterback there and get Josh Rosen to go in the mix there in Denver.
Excellent. Thoughtful. We're on pick number 5, and we got 3 quarterbacks already going off the top of the board. Very interesting stuff. And I know we spoke during our last mock draft that we kind of got to a point where we're looking and we're like, wow, some of these guys are still on the board. Pretty amazing stuff. But, you know, hey, that's the part of this process. I take on the Jets with the 6th pick. And like the previous teams that are ahead of them in this particular class, I mean, everyone's looking at quarterbacks. We know Josh McCown, the journeyman, probably will be a coach someday. Great guy. But he is not the guy to lead the Jets into the future. He's a guy to kind of just keep this thing going if they bring him back. I'm going to look at Baker Mayfield. I like Baker Mayfield. I know there's comparisons to Manziel. I don't even think to me, that's like apples, oranges, or almost steaks and pears. I mean, I just don't think there's any comparison between Baker Mayfield and the insanity that surrounded Johnny Manziel. So I'm going to put the Oklahoma quarterback 6 to the Jets. So we have 4 quarterbacks going in the top 6 picks. But again, quarterbacks heavy, and these teams need them.
Yeah.
If you miss here, you know,
you're going to be picking again here.
Yeah, you're going to be picking again here. So, like I said, it's just one of those things. And then you get the 7th pick to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, I think the best 2 prospects still left on the board are Quentin Nelson, the guard out of Notre Dame, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, the cornerback safety there at Alabama. So, again, I think they're going to be wrestling in their war room if this is how it plays out. But I think they go ahead and go with the guard and Quentin Nelson, the Notre Dame prospect, to help Jameis Winston in that running game. And they've got those big weapons with the receivers on the outside there.
Yeah, I like that pick for them. Again, they kind of that offense failed miserably, I think. I think the team underperformed overall. I thought expectations were wild card bare minimum.
Yeah.
But that division stepped up. I mean, the Saints 11-5, they came out of the woodwork. I thought they would be dismal. And the Falcons are the Falcons, and Carolina's that weird team. They look really bad, and then they win 7 games in a row, and you still think, well, who are they? But that's just part, I think, of the mantra of the Carolina Panthers. So we're on to the eighth pick in the Windy City of Chicago, and a team run heavy last year. Mitchell Trubisky, they moved up in the second round to take him. When I look at this team, I think there's a lot of holes and pieces for this team. It's like I said, we got Minkah Fitzpatrick from Alabama, Derwin James, FSU kid. The guy that I love, and I think he's the best defensive player in this particular draft, or close to it, I should say, is the linebacker Laquan Smith out of Georgia. So I think even though they have some needs in other areas of defense, I'm going to put Raquan Smith going to the Bears. And, Minkah keeps dropping. But, again, I just think Smith is
the
guy.
Yeah, the 49ers, they need help in the secondary. So now it comes to, do we take Minkah Fitzpatrick or we take Denzel Ward? I think they're going there. But I think they go ahead and they get Minkah Fitzpatrick probably off the board with the 49ers. And he just kind of fits well in that rebuilding on defense there for the 49ers, and go with Jimmy G there on offense and try to really make a run there in the Bay Area.
Definitely. And you think about that, man. Minkah Fitzpatrick going with the ninth overall selection. They're gonna be very happy.
They're running up that thing.
They're
and
popping
going
confetti and champagne in the war room in San Francisco when Minkah Fitzpatrick. But hey, that's how boards play out. Some teams need, and Kevin Colbert talked about it the other day. It might be a deep class of things, but just because it's a deep, say, running back class, and teams who need running back take those guys, and it just allows them to maybe get a defensive tackle sooner than later. So the draft is an inevitable unknown. Now we're off to the Oakland Raiders, and in your previous mock draft, you had Vita going pretty high, and this kid's really come on. I think he's one of the draft risers of late. He's really kind of established himself as the monster D tackle of nose tackle type and big boy. And I think anybody with that interior line, and they need it. I didn't think they would. I like Mario Edwards. I like some of the other guys that they brought. We know Khalil Mack's one of the best in the league. But when I look at the Raiders, I think this is actually a good selection with Vita Vea at Washington.
Yeah,
I really do, because they need a help up front. And so we're gonna put him down on the board, and that leaves you the 11th pick to the Dolphins.
Yeah, and the Dolphins, obviously, they could have taken a quarterback here, because of the issues with Ryan Tannehill. Do we know if he's coming back? But obviously all the quarterbacks that really, really feel like, hey, could be in this play are gone. You could look at, hey, what else could they do there? But I think they go ahead and say, hey, that's our secondary. They had tried to sign Byron Maxwell a couple years ago. They moved a corner, from receiver, at Michigan State to cornerback, position there. And they've tried to address that defensive backfield. So I think they go ahead and go Denzel Ward, the Ohio State cornerback there with the 11th overall pick, and are happy about that, him still being there.
Yeah, that's a nice pick. And the Dolphins are a team too. They've spent money in free agency.
Yeah.
They drafted so-so. I mean, it was like not awful drafting, but it just doesn't seem like that team can get over the hump.
Yeah, put it all together there.
Now, in the last year, Adam Gase, offensive guru, they have two games where they don't score any points. Those are the things that just kind of make you just kind of, scream at the top of your lungs, like, man, what is going on here in Miami? So, now we had Derwin James going, I had them going previously, and I think he's on the board still.
Yeah.
I'm going to stick with this. The secondary isn't in shambles, but I think the talent of Derwin James, who we just actually saw going to the Adidas room to get some shoes and spikes for his combine day. Derwin James was in here earlier. He's going to be the flavor of the day for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
The 12th pick, so the Florida State safety off the board.
Yeah, and 13th, as far as the Washington Redskins, they had some issues with a pass rusher. As far as Ryan Kerrigan's a great player there, but besides him, I think they didn't have a ton of pass rushers there. So Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker from Virginia Tech, I think is the guy who they're saying, hey, this guy could go top five in some people's minds, and he drops all the way to 13th.
Yeah.
And so that's a great value pick for the Washington Redskins.
It is a value pick, and they need him. Like I said, some injuries, and hopefully they can kind of turn that around. I grew up liking Washington, so just a disaster of a franchise. They're basically on par with the Cleveland Browns. No, they really are. It's just a train wreck. The front office was stopped them all in last year. The things that they do, You know, they debacled the Kirk Cousins thing. I give the first year of the Cousins thing, you know, because he kind of came out.
Yeah.
You don't want to invest big money. But then again, now you're in a boat where, you know, you got Alex Smith. What are you going to do with Alex Smith?
Right? Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, you just, you know, so. But hey, that's there and done with. Now we're off to the 14th pick with Green Bay. I had him picking Josh Jackson, the Iowa safety or DB. I just like this kid. And when I watch Green Bay, they're just the
yeah, they were riddled with injury in the secondary.
Depleted and then talent-wise as well. So I think regardless of what they do, it's going to be an offensive guy. Unless maybe Orlando Brown or like Connor Williams, you know, one of these guys, they elect to, you know, stack guys up on the interior on the offensive side. But I'm going to go with Josh Jackson, who was also down here about a few minutes ago down here in the lobby.
Adidas. Everybody's trying to get some cleats to run fast with their 40. So that gives us to the 15th pick there with the Arizona Cardinals. And again, Larry Fitzgerald's coming back for at least one more season.
Right.
They've got the other two wide receivers are free agents, Jahan Brown and Jaylen Brown, both the Brown boys. You know, so I think they go Calvin Ridley, the wide receiver out of Alabama. I think that's the guy who they need him. You know, yeah, they need to figure out what they're going to do with their quarterback position, but maybe they sign A.J. McCarron, so maybe he doesn't go to Cleveland.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they go ahead and say, hey, we don't know how long we got Fitzgerald, but let's go ahead and give him a counterpart who can take over and be the number one when Fitzgerald does retire.
Nice. And we did this last mock draft one. We did our previous picks. Some of them changed, but we're sticking to our guns here because the previous show when Justin said receiver, I thought he was going to take the guy that I wanted, the Ravens, to take. And I'm going to have them take the SMU receiver, Cortland Sutton. You know, as I put in the bios, I mean, Mark Clayton, a bust, Torrey Smith, bust, Rashard Perryman, basically a bust. They have to get it right sooner or later, the receiver position. Joe Flacco can't do it himself, and he's not getting any younger, put it that way. So they need to get this guy some weapons and do it quickly. So Cortland Sutton, the SMU receiver, goes, you know, with the, what, we're on the 16th pick?
Yeah, 16th pick there.
Yep. And then you're off with 17th.
With 17th. And, you know, I mean, again, you got to try to figure out what's the L.A. Chargers going to do. They have a pretty good offense. They need as far as help on that defense. They obviously have the two outside, Joey Bosa and
Ingram.
And Ingram there, those are pass rushers. But what I think they do is they go interior, have an interior presence, kind of, you know, and be able to help with that run, stop the run. And they go Deron Payne, the defensive tackle from Alabama. Same guy I gave him the last mock draft. I'm sticking with the guns there in Deron Payne.
You know, if he pans out, I mean, think about that. That's where you kind of start dreaming. Like, you got Ingram, you got Bosa. And imagine if he pans out to their caliber.
Yeah.
What kind of front?
Yeah, that's what you got to put pressure on the quarterback. We saw what Philadelphia did in the Super Bowl against Forrest Tom Brady.
Right.
And all it took was one play in that Super Bowl with Brady, as far as Brandon Graham making the game play, you know, game saving play there and stripping Tom Brady.
Nice. Now this pick, I think I inherit the. I'm inheriting the Seattle Seahawks here at the 18th pick. I'm going to go Oklahoma tackle Orlando Brown. I think that's going to be the fit for them. Obviously, I think that line's kind of been a makeshift kind of piece even since Russell Okung and all these guys. I mean, it just seems like they've been, you know, I mean, they traded Jimmy Graham to get Max Unger at center. So they've been a team kind of in transition. So I think Brown, I think Brown's a great pick for them as well. I mean, you're talking about a top 10 talent slipping to the 18th pick of the draft, and that leaves you with 19 with the Dallas Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys got to figure out what they're going to do with, you know, their defense. They really need some help on that defense there. I'm trying to, you know, think of how do we pronounce the Boise State linebacker's name, but we decided we were just going to go with Boise State linebacker.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to still stick with the Boise State linebacker there for the Dallas Cowboys to really help them out there.
And, you know, I'm going to laugh. You're going to laugh because we spoke about that, and then I think BTI represents them.
Okay.
I think. But I was talking with those guys, and they said, I believe that too. If I'm wrong, I apologize to everybody involved with him. But when they said that we have the Boise State guy, and then he said his name, and I heard it, and I wanted to say it one more time because I thought of you, and I thought, this is it.
Yeah.
We're going to know his name, and, you know, we're going to have this guy on the list, and we're going to know his name. But then, you know, he said it one time,
yeah,
and we weren't able to find it again. And like I said, we would just end up butchering it.
Yeah,
and
so we'll just keep it Boise State linebacker.
Yeah, because we
don't want to.
Out of respect.
Out of respect.
Yeah, out of respect. Now, I let you do it last time, but I'm going to keep this pick this time.
You keep this pick with the Lions.
Yeah, the Lions. And I like, you took Geis. I think you took
Geis. Yeah, Geis, yeah.
And I like that. I like that selection. I like that selection. But I'm going to actually give them I'm going to give them Connor Williams, the Texas tackle. I'm going to go start using these tackles off the board here. I think the value of just maybe improving that line can't help Stafford, you know, can't hurt him.
Yeah.
And, I know, running backs is a deep class. If they don't get guys in the first round, you know, you got Sony, you got Chubb, you got Royce Freeman. So I'm going to have them take
Connor Williams.
The offensive tackle
from Texas. And again, then you get to the Buffalo, and they got two picks back to back. They could use one to trade up. You know, I think they. I'm still sticking with my pick there, where they had the Iowa center there, James Daniels. You know, so I still think because of the injury there with Eric Woods, I still think they go ahead and replace it with James Daniels, the Iowa center there, and help again that offensive line.
Nice, nice. And there's this is a unique pick. The guys right now, I'm thinking off the top of my head. Would be Mason Rudolph, the Oklahoma State quarterback, depending on if they feel he's a first round pick, worthy of the 22nd pick overall, because we assume Tyrod Taylor's not going to be there. You know, I don't think they're going to be able to grab Cousins or McCarron. So then what do you do with quarterback? Do you just say, we're going to bring in a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick? That's not a step up.
No.
Right? I mean, so they're kind of limited now. I think they're in a kind of a spot where what do you do?
Do they take Lamar Jackson, though?
They could take a Lamar Jackson.
Because Lamar Jackson's kind of like a skinnier, taller Tyrod Taylor.
But then I'm like, then just keep Tyrod Taylor. I guess, right? No, that's what I'm thinking, you know, because I don't look at – I mean, I think Tyrod Taylor is a guy that – I don't think he ever got a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really ever felt comfortable with him doing his thing. And, you know, the exploits they did in the middle of the season with putting Nate Peterman in there, I thought was just a complete – slap in the face.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
No, that wasn't good. And, you know, I think they lost the team that game. They were uninspired, which you should be. I mean, because, you know, these guys work together. Just like me and you, you're doing your thing. You know, you're counting on each other. We know who's got the goods and who doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of sending us in the battle with the guy that doesn't know how to fight a war.
That's right.
Right? So you're going to have a lot of guys that have been putting in hours and hours and hours of season work for a goal to make the playoffs, win a Super Bowl. And you're like, hey, let's put this rookie in. And then he throws, six picks?
Something like, it was a lot.
So with that said, I think I convinced myself of this selection. Even if he's not worthy of this 22nd overall pick, sometimes it's need over other things, even though there's some still quality guys out there. I mean, we're still in the first round. There's a ton of guys. But I'm going to go Mason Rudolph, the Oklahoma State quarterback. And you're off to the 23rd pick of the Los Angeles Rams, Justin.
And I talked about, you know, Christian Kirk, that, you know, depends. And again, I think it depends on what they do as far as a free agency. Do they go? Do they lose, you know, Sammy Watkins? Every indication that they're going to lose Sammy Watkins. So I'm going to go ahead and still, they traded for Marcus Peters. So, again, they lose Termaine Johnson. They already kind of got a replacement there. They go ahead and let Sammy Watkins walk so they can take the wide receiver out of Texas A&M, Christian Kirk's there, and really help that offense with really building that young core there in L.A. And you know, they love stars in L.A., and Christian Kirk could be a star. I know you love him as a wide receiver.
I do like him a lot, man. He's a guy that I sometimes, you know, when I'm debating over these guys, I think he could be the top guy. I think he's special. Now, I'm very excited. This is where I have the power of the 24th pick for the Carolina Panthers, and I want this pick to happen so bad, Justin, because I think it makes sense personally, but we'll see, and if it happens, I can say, hey, I told you. This pick, I'm going to shock the world with this one, and I think I mentioned it in the previous show, though. Christian McCaffrey is that Alvin Kamara type guy, and they got Mark Ingram. They just released Jonathan Stewart. McCaffrey is their versatile kind of keep fresh guy. He's not their bell cow guy. The bell cow guy that's available right now is from LSU and the running back at Darius Geis. And I think that's a run-heavy offense.
Yep.
And they wanted Jonathan Stewart to be the plug, the power plug.
Yep.
And you bring in this other dynamic weapon, and just, you know, once they're wear down, exactly like Ingram and Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
So NFC South, they're going to bring their own dynamic duo to match Ingram and Kamara. So I'm going to put Geis down.
Ooh, Geis and McCaffrey. That'd be
and
marriages. And Cam Newton.
I mean, that's a that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Like
that's
you said,
you know,
just pound the ball down your throat.
Yeah. Who needs a wide receiver, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, let Devin Funchess and Olsen do their thing.
Yeah.
Right? And then you grab
And again, in McCaffrey, they use a lot in the slot. You know, a lot of guy, a lot of option routes, you know.
Back.
Yeah. So,
and that's a power run team.
That's
you look back to the history of the team, they've always liked those, you know, D'Angelo Williams. Steven Davis.
Yep. They like to keep that kind of fire and ice, you know, type thing there. Kind of like me and you, fire and ice.
We're fire and ice. this is a fire and ice mouth draft show. Who are we off to, Jesse?
We were the Tennessee Titans with the 25th pick. And again, I'm still going to go back to what we said in the Power Mac there. DeMarco Murray's probably not going to be there. Probably going to release him. We saw what, you know, they were able to do to the run, with the running game without him. But again, I think they go back to the running game, and we go running back, back to back, and they take Ronald Jones II out of USC there to team him up with Derrick Henry, and kind of, again, another fire and ice.
Fire and
power, you know, the thunder and lightning.
It is. Look at the we got three running backs going in the first round, and they're going to teams with,
the Cleveland.
No, yeah. But the other two teams, you know, significant guys in the backfield. So that's I love it. I wish I could give the Falcons, you know,
another running back.
Yeah, Tevin Coleman, Deontay Freeman, they're going to take Nick Chubb here with the 25th pick, and then the 27th pick, the Falcons move up again to take Sony Michel. No, I'm joking. Now the Falcons, I had them taking D tackle last time, and I think I don't want to go in that direction this time. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. But, you know, this is a team, they were, you know, I mean, you know, you could say they, you know, they lost the Super Bowl, but they gave up a game that they should have won. You know, I think that's fair to say as well. But, last year that offense under Sarkisian just seemed to miss a step. I don't know what they could do offensively to add more pieces. I don't think they're hurting. But, you know, defensively I'm looking at this team and I'm thinking, what could they use as an impact guy? I'm looking at all these guys and, if I'm going to go anywhere, I think, you know, we got Mike Hughes still on the board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a guy like Hurst from Michigan, I think they could use. But I saw more deficiencies on the back end of this defense rather than the front end. And even though I had them taking, I had them taking a D tackle. I'm trying to think of who it was on my mock draft. But I'm gonna go with Maurice Hurst, the Michigan guy, just to add some oomph to that front, because offensively, I don't think there's much you can do.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you're not really replacing anybody. You know, in the first round, you kind of want these guys to kind of.
Yeah, and they took an edge guy last year.
Jack.
Yeah.
Tack with UCLA.
As far as be able to get some hurts, get some push up the middle there. I think it's definitely as far as, you know, and he still can be able to use a little bit of pass rushing thing there. So I think it's a good pick there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the 27th pick, I mean, that was, you know, again, now it's again, do you take Mike Hughes, a cornerback in Central Florida, or do you go ahead and give the Saints a pass rusher? And I think, you know, they had a great draft last year. I think they get a pass rusher to team up with Cam Jordan and take Sam Hubbard. But I think, you know, in 2 days when the defensive line tests, he's going to test out the world and help Cam Jordan. And again, they're inside in the Mercedes Superdome, and they'll be able to go off the edge there. So Sam Hubbard, the pick with the New Orleans Saints at the 27th selection.
I love that pick, and I love Hubbard. I think he's a guy that, I think since the end of the season, doing all his things, I think he's a guy. I find him, I think he's a lot better than, I think, what people perceive at this point, really. And I think that, and that's ironic. I get the Steelers at 28, the team that I cover. I think it's four out of the last five drafts they've selected a linebacker in the first round, which just kind of shows you where the pulse of that defense is. I know they've had some secondary. I mean, they were a team in transition, and they're still a team defensively in transition as they try to replenish all the guys that have kind of gone on into retirement. The guy that I would love them to take, and I'm going to gamble here because I think he fits the style of Bud Dupree. They like that big size guy. Is Marcus Davenport, but he's a defensive end. And it's a little bit of a risk if they see the athleticism in Davenport, because he played standing up a lot. If they think he can drop, move his hips, and get in deep, and I know I'm going on a limb here.
Yeah, but he's been a guy who's kind of been like, everybody was like, oh, he's a top 10 pick, and then after the Senior Bowl, everybody's like, maybe he's a second rounder, you know? So I think maybe that's probably a good fit in regards to that late first, you know, for him.
For a guy who can get after the passes, you know, so I think it just fits. But again, I think Isaiah Oliver, the Colorado kid, you know, some of these DBs still on the board, I think could be impact guys for them. But nonetheless, it's definitely going to be the defensive selection. But I'm going to gamble here, and I know it's against better judgment, but I just think if he showed the athleticism, I think he's a guy that maybe they could say, hey, you know, we're going to have this guy do that. Because he just,
And it could also be a 5-10 for him too, you know, in regards to in there, you know, and really be a multiple front, you know, defensively there. So hey, maybe you put him down a couple, you know, there, and then you know, stand him up. So it could be some different things there.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, you know, in Jacksonville, 29th pick, obviously Blake Bortles got the extension there. So I mean, again, there was talk about hey, do they take a quarterback here? They still could, you know, if you like a Lamar Jackson, you know, depending on what he does there. I don't necessarily think that's going to really be the pick. I think they got to go really help you know, break Bortles. And I think what helps them is they're going to run the football. They got Leonard Fournette. They had some issues with their interior offensive line. I think they take Isaiah Wynn, the offensive guard from Georgia, who really helped his draft stock there at the Senior Bowl. So I think Isaiah Wynn, the offensive guard there at you know, Georgia, is their pick to help, again, the Fournettes of the world and really, you know, bang that rock there.
Nice. And that's a great select. And you're talking to about another guy who made a lot of money going down and playing in an all-star game. And like I said, that's the value of some of these things, is really having a good week during these all-star games to kind of enhance your value. And sometimes those leapfrog you to the combine where you get more exposure and teams can, and then again, it might hurt you if you just had a good week.
Yeah.
Not that athletic. But usually that's not the case. We're on to the 30th pick of the Minnesota Vikings. This team I like. It's a scrappy bunch, and I'm excited for them next year. Obviously, they have some, you know, what they're going to do at quarterback, but, you know, you get Dalvin Cook back, who I thought was dynamic prior to, you know, injuring his knee, and I think there's a lot of excitement there. Obviously, they should be. I mean, they were one game away from the Super Bowl, so,
yeah.
You know, that's where the excitement lies. When I look at this team, I think defense, but I also think, you know, interior on the offensive side of the football, too. You know, I don't know what direction they would go. Was I, you know, I'm trying to kind of delve into this, but I think on the previous one I did the same thing. Mike McGlinchey, Notre Dame kid tackle. I think he pumped some life into that front.
And yeah,
I think the defense is a little bit more secure right now than the offensive side. So I'm gonna put McGlinchey up there and you know, give them that tackle.
Yeah, helps that offensive line where they start a lot of different combinations there to help there. So. With the 31st pick, the New England Patriots obviously lost the Super Bowl there, you know, and lost it with, hey, what were they doing at that cornerback position? Malcolm Butler.
Debacle.
I mean, what happened there? We saw him crying there at the national anthem, but then, oh, you know, they come out and go, oh, Devin McCourty goes, oh, we always knew he wasn't starting. No, you didn't. That was a company line. Good. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. But again, they're going to need a cornerback. Mike Hughes, I'm still surprised he's left on the board here because he's a guy, again, who top 15 people are talking about.
Yeah.
So I think the Patriots, again, they strike and go ahead and get a corner, Mike Hughes, to be able to check where Malcolm Butler is there.
How did Fire and Ice let Mike Hughes fall to the 35th pick, man?
I don't know.
Huh? Fire and Ice dropping the ball, man.
I don't know which one's Fire, which one's Ice.
I don't know.
But we can switch up each day.
Yeah, we'll switch up each show and keep people wondering. And it's crazy, man. We just went through this. It seems like, you know, when we embark on this, you know, but it goes so fast. I hope you folks out there are listening and enjoying the mock draft. I get the Super Bowl champion pick of the Philadelphia Eagles. This is a tricky one for me. Again, I look at this team. You know, they won the Super Bowl, so they're obviously in a good place. But they, you know, they have needs like everybody else. The guy that I'm going to have them take, and I could be off here, but I think this guy right here should be somewhere in here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take Harold Landry, who I think could be an outside linebacker, defensive end, edge guy. And I think that's what they need. I know some linebacker help, defensive stuff, but I think that Paulson. I think, you know, on my mock draft, I'm going to read it up now, too, because, you know, I thought it was interesting when you looked. You know, their core linebackers, and maybe I should just say linebacker as well, but I mean, I'm going to read you this list of names. This is the list of their current linebackers. Nigel Brown, Darnell Ellerby, Nate Gary, Najee Good, Jordan Hicks, Michael Kendricks, Joe Walker. Like, those aren't exactly reminiscent of, you know, Harry Carson, Lawrence Taylor.
or even linebackers that the Eagles have had. Seth Joyner. You know, I mean, again, we're showing our age here.
Yeah,
we're
showing our age. But like I said, when I look at that team, we got Dorian O'Donnell from Clemson out there. I had him going last year. And Rashad Evans. Why don't we stick with this pick? We'll make it Rashad Evans because they do need linebackers.
Yeah.
I had them. But I still think...
We look at Landry, you know, he was the, if you looked at the scouting services, when before this whole process started, Landry was the number one overall player in the scouting services in Wesso and National. You know, I know this is kind of taboo to talk about because they were in Indianapolis, the home of National, and they don't like to get that stuff out there. But we find it out. We found out the grades. We found out that Harold Landry was the number one overall guy. It got leaked, but now he doesn't even go in the first round.
Yeah.
And that's a possibility not only in the Fire and Ice mock draft, but
in the real mock,
but in the real draft, in the real world, there, you know, you look at a Harold Landry didn't get picked there. You look at the other running backs. You know, there's Lamar Jackson doesn't go in the first round. And again, there's a lot of debate on where he's going to go. So again, there's a lot of Harrison Phillips, the defensive tackle out of Stanford, doesn't go.
Ronnie Harrison, safety.
You got
even these tight ends. We had no tight ends going.
No tight ends.
I think a tight end possibly could sneak.
Yeah, I mean, Mark Andrews.
Lumberlake Jefferson.
Yeah. You know, you, this is the guy that you took for...
Ogbonu or Konakwa.
Yeah.
Oklahoma.
Carlton Davis, a cornerback from Auburn. People are talking about first round there.
I took James Washington off the board. I had him going.
Yep, you had him going. Sony Michel, people, you know.
Yeah, Sony Michel.
Doesn't go in the first round. So, Artisan Key, a lot of people loved him.
Key was a huge, huge guy.
He was going to be a junior who was going to he was going to be a top five pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and again, he doesn't go in a mock first round. And a lot of people down here aren't talking about him as being a first round pick. So it can be interesting to see where it really happens. Again, we've got the combine process. Then we roll the pro days. Then there's the top 30 visits where teams can bring in their top 30 guys. And then there's the, hey, we're going to do individual workouts at the school's facility. Because that's what people don't understand is you only can bring in 30 players to your facility. So if we're the Denver Broncos, we're only going to bring 30 guys in there. But now we can go out and we can go to 100 different schools and we can work out 100 different prospects.
Nice.
You know, so that's the thing, you know. And again, but the time, you know, once you get back from the combine, you got free agency done. It crunches. And the middle of April will be here before we know it.
I know.
You'll be barbecuing, you know, and having your annual, bull marshot, you know, college to pro, barbecue, you know, which you're all invited to.
You're all invited.
You know, just
Justin's buying. You're invited, but Justin's paying for
the barbecue.
The food. The freaking beer.
So, but yeah, I mean, you never know how this is going to play out there.
Nice. If I have 5,000 people at my house all night, kill you. Hey, man, Justin, as always, man, this has been a great show. I hope you folks out there enjoyed it as well. We'll try to bring you more mock drafts, especially right after free agency, because, again, you know, as we spoke at the top half of the show, I mean, there's so many scenarios surrounding the Cleveland Browns, even the Jets, the Broncos, all these quarterback-needy teams where free agency could really be an impact, and that just changes the direction and complexity of how this draft unfolds. And I think you agree, too. I mean, this is a mock draft. It's for fun. It's just to try to give a guy, everyone out there, an idea where these guys are going to go. But, you know, I anticipate even more. I mean, it seems like the new generation of GMs, coaches, these guys don't mind shuffling the board. Back in the day, there was... You know, you got your first pick, you got your second pick, you took your 7 picks, you went home. Now these guys are like, you know what? We want Connor Williams. Damn it, we're going and we're picking.
Yeah, no.
We're moving up. So I would anticipate a lot of trades in the first round.
I think there's a lot. You know, and again, and Buffalo's got some ammunition with two first-round picks. And some of these other, you know, teams have picks to be able to move up and move down as far as the board there. And Cleveland, they've got 2 picks and the top 4 picks. That's, to me, what they do there. And, again, and their GM came out yesterday and said, hey, we're open for business. We'll trade the first pick.
Yeah. And the Giants, in my opinion, last year, I mean, they were a Super Bowl contender. I mean, they failed miserably, but, you know, they had a great 2016, and then, you know, last year, I mean, you know, the pieces were there to really make a run.
So if you
could drop down.
Well, or you could go up. You could go trade with Cleveland. Cleveland flips the 1-2. You pop them a 3rd or something like that, so you can go get the running back to put with Eli and put with Odell Beckham Jr.
I think if Barkley's on the board with 2, I think the draft.
Oh yeah, I think yeah.
Yeah, no brainer.
Yeah.
I think if Barkley's gone, I still think they feel confident with Eli, even though I have him taken, Donald. But, again, I think that's where – maybe that's why I haven't taken Donald, just because of value. But I think their team that says, anybody want this pick? You know, I mean,
They could drop, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, hey, Denver, did you get your quarterback in free agency? No. New York, did you? Well, you know what? Here's your chance. If you guys want to jump up to the 2nd pick, bypass Cleveland.
Cleveland at four. If Cleveland takes Saquon Barkley number one.
You know, and that's where all the jockeying and fun happens.
Yeah, and this is what I mean. So, and Bo says he can go, you know, 32 for 32 on draft day. So again, you know, and again, if not, he's buying the barbecue.
Yeah, buying the barbecue. Well, Fire and Ice, appreciate you guys listening to the 2018 Mock Draft live at the NFL Scouting Combine as we look down upon the Adidas fleet as players come and go, trying on their spikes and new shoes. It's a spectacle to see folks. They also have a Nike suite, and you see these guys roll in, and there's nothing, I've never had this feeling. Maybe I'll ask you, have you ever been able just to walk into a place and just get like five or six pairs of free shoes?
No. I haven't been that lucky.
No. And, you know, real quick, we tell all the guys that come down to the combine that you bring an extra duffel bag or a suitcase because you'll get so much free stuff between Under Armour taking care of you at the combine, and then you go off to these places. And like I said, if you don't bring it, I've known guys who leave stuff in their rooms. I know guys who are giving stuff away at the airport because they just can't pack it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got no room, you got nothing to do, you can't bring it. So any future combine invites, remember, that's the advice.
That's the advice. Take two suitcases.
Two suitcases, have that extra $25, ask your agent for it, so you can have your extra bag brought home. Or you can find me and Justin here at the Omni Hotel, and you can bring us your extra.
Size 11 shoes.
Size 11 shoes, yeah. I'm too small for anything. I'd have to give it to my son or friends or Justin. I'd tell Justin to pay me. I'd be like, Justin, listen, I'm giving you this $300 Under Armour combine windbreaker. I want something for it. So, man, Justin, you're the best. I love having you on.
That's
man.
Right.
You make this show pop. As always, we appreciate you listening to the C2P, and we'll be getting this and more draft stuff for you. And, Justin, let these guys know your site and where to find you on Twitter.
Yeah, Football Next Level. That's my blog that I do to be able to help guys, you know what the process of, and, you know, this process of the draft, you know, the combine, the all-star games, and why it all matters, and how you can really kind of navigate this. And as far as Twitter, it's just J Van Fulpen. So JVANF, like in Frank, ULPEN. Love for us to be able to interact with you guys and see what you think about me and Bo's mock draft, what we just did today.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with Justin, I mean, this guy has run all-star games. He's diligent. He's been in this industry. And he's almost a guy who the people behind the scenes depend on. So, I mean, you're not going to see him on the face of NFL Network. You're not going to see him with the Mel Kiper faces. But internally, where scouts and agents are looking to sign guys, he's their resource. I mean, that's how valuable his opinion is. So when you're hearing him just drop off these names, this is just some, you know, hey, I'm, you know, just ripping off a name that I know of. There's a substantial amount of work that goes into his evaluation. So, again, I just want you folks to know that when he comes on, we're bringing on a real hammer. As always, Justin, thank you, and we appreciate you folks listening to the C2P.
This has been a College2Pro.com exclusive.